Amen. So today I've been teaching on the topic of deliverance, and it's a topic that it's so vast. There's so much information about deliverance. And so what I'm going to attempt to do by the grace of God is just to cover some basics. And so my message today is entitled, An Introduction to Deliverance. I love to see the power of God work through deliverance. I love to see God's people set free through deliverance. I just love to see that because God is a God of deliverance. He came to deliver his people and to set them free. Amen? So my goal today is to shed some light on a very overlooked and in many cases misunderstood provision that God has given to the church. I say provision because it is something that God has supplied and given. He has provided. And there are many things today that God has provided us with. He's provided us with salvation. But it's up to us to receive this gift of salvation. He's provided us with joy. But it's up to us to walk in it. And he's also provided us with healing. But it's up to us to believe that the very stripes Jesus bore on his back indeed made provision for our healing. God has made these things available for us today. But it's up to us to respond and make them our reality. We have to engage. We have to respond. It takes action and initiative. Deliverance is a provision that God's given to us today. And I thank God that he's shedding light on this area for us today. I thank God that he's taught me some things about deliverance, and he continues to teach me about deliverance. But in fact, it is a provision that I'm thankful to God for. So what is deliverance? I'm going to define deliverance as the action of being rescued or set free, according to the dictionary. But it doesn't end there. I'm going to pause on that definition while we turn to the book of Luke, and we're going to open chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. And as we turn to our Bibles, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you, Lord, that you came to set the captives free. I thank you that you came to set at liberty those who have been oppressed. I thank you, Lord God, that you meet us right where we're at. I thank you, Lord God, that you will give us wisdom and understanding today. And Father, right now we take up our authority that you've given to us in the name of Jesus. And we bind every spirit of confusion, of doubt, and of unbelief. We bind every confusing and distracting and hindering spirit that would try to snatch this word from us today. We bind you, and in the name of Jesus, you are bound. So let's plow through this and uncover and discover what God has for us today. And I want us to read Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And I love this passage because it's the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He had just finished a 40-day fast where he was tempted by Satan. And as he begins his earthly ministry, he enters into the synagogue and he's handed the book of Isaiah. And as he opens it, he begins to read about himself. He opens the word, which he is the word, and begins to quote the word, which is speaking about himself. I love that. He's making a public declaration as he enters into his ministry. And he's saying, this is who I am, and this is what I came to do. And we read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I'm reading today from the New King James Version. Now, I want us to underline and highlight or write down this word oppressed, because we're going to be talking about it throughout today's teaching. But I want us to understand that this is what Jesus came to do. He came to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. This verse is so rich, so defining of what our master's commission was all about. Deliverance also includes both the process and the result of one's liberation from oppression. And so there's a process. It's a provision, but there's a process and a result that comes through deliverance. And today we're going to be dealing specifically with deliverance from demonic oppression. I want to expose the enemy. I want to pull back the covers. And I want to give us a little bit of insight into how the enemy operates, because I don't want us to be ignorant, which it means a lack of knowledge. I don't want us to operate that way. We need to know. We need to know what God has provided for us. I want us to turn also to the book of Acts. And we're going to read in Acts 10, verse 38. And it says, God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth, or God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, I want us to understand that this word devil refers to either Satan himself or his demons. In the Greek, the word for demon is daimonion, which also means an evil spirit. And it's referred to many times in the New Testament as an unclean spirit. And I want us to understand that this word was referenced many times. As a matter of fact, according to the Strong's Concordance, this word demon or unclean spirit or evil spirit was referenced over 60 times in the New Testament. I want us to understand that a large portion of Jesus' earthly ministry was spent dealing and confronting demons. He didn't just come to preach the gospel. He didn't just come to heal the sick, but he came to bring liberty to those who were oppressed by the devil. Now, I want us to understand what this means, because for the most part, there are two issues that many people in the church today struggle with. And number one is ignorance. Now, don't take offense, because it's a word that means lack of knowledge. Some people don't understand what demons are, how they operate, or what exactly their assignment is. And demons actually prefer it that way. They like to do their work in the secret, in the dark places. They don't want their tactics and their schemes exposed. As a matter of fact, they want us to believe the lie that they're a figment of our imagination. Because if we don't believe they exist, then we're not going to bother with them. But the second issue is fear. Fear is what demons use to keep us from discovering and confronting their schemes and tactics. Hollywood has done a job of painting this picture of what demons are, and they've completely twisted it up, and they've either caused us to think that they're not real or that they're too monstrous, that they're too strong for us, that we shouldn't even attempt to confront them. But I'm here to tell you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you need not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You have authority over them. And the sooner you discover that, the sooner you will be confronting them and kicking them out of your life. Now, today I want to talk about five specific areas of deliverance. And I'm going to give us some education, some insight about what deliverance, who is it for, and what's the difference between possession and oppression. What are some open doorways to demonic oppression? What are the prerequisites to deliverance? And what are hindrances to deliverance? And you can put that next slide up where it breaks down the five key areas of deliverance. If you've got a paper or a bulletin and a pen, I recommend that you write some things down, because God always loves to speak to us when we're alone one-on-one. And we here at Chapel of Change encourage you to write these things down so you can go home, and when you're alone in the secret place with the Lord, He can reveal some deeper truths and meanings behind or in addition to what you're learning today. Don't just take what you hear and then leave it. Take it all the way home with you, dissect it, cross-reference it, underline it, and let God speak to you, because the Holy Spirit is your primary teacher. So who is deliverance for? I've often heard that deliverance is the children's bread. In other words, it is for the people of God. In other words, it is for those who are called by His name. Deliverance is a provision for the believer. And God is concerned with every aspect of our being. He made us as a tripart being. We are a spirit being. We have a soul, and we live in a body. In Hebrews 4:12, we read, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we find here that we have a spirit, soul, and body. We are a tripart being. And the enemy loves to attack the areas of our soul and our body because he cannot get to our spirit. When we surrender our life, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And in the Old Testament, it's referred to as the Holy of Holies, meaning untouchable. The enemy cannot come into that area. But where the enemy loves to attack us in is the area of our soul, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And he loves to attack our body, which is what we live in. Now, the enemy likes to wreak havoc in the area of our soul. Most of us have heard that statement, the battlefield of the mind. And he takes us captive many times in this area, because he takes us farther than we ever thought we would go in the area of our mind. And he plays into our emotions and causes us to throw temper tantrums and have strife and all kinds of other things, rage, anger that comes through emotions. We're going to get more into that as I go on through the teaching. But I want to talk about what the difference is between possession and oppression. Now, for the most part, that word possession implies ownership. And we know that as a believer,
in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be possessed by a demon. Why? Because when we surrendered our life to the Lord, we transferred ownership, and now He is our Lord, which means owner, and we belong to Him. But we can be, as a Christian, oppressed. We can be oppressed demonically. Many Christians today are actually walking around severely oppressed to the point where the enemy has gained control over a particular area of our life. And we need to understand that. We need to come to terms that there is many times more than meets the eye, more behind the scenes. We need to be discerners of the true source of our oppression. Now, many times we become oppressed even after we've come to the Lord. Because what happens when we came to the Lord and surrendered our life, that was the entry point. The Bible says we are to work out our salvation, meaning that we are to grow thereby and begin to conform and transform into the image of Christ. But what happens many times is we thought that all we had to do was say a sinner's prayer. All we had to do was say yes to Jesus, and that everything else was just going to go away. Wrong. We still have to work these things out in our life that happened to us, especially as a child. There are things that happen to us. There are deep wounds, traumas, and strongholds that came upon us as a child, and we must deal with those. Listen, what happened to us is not something that we are to deny or suppress. It is something that the Lord Jesus wants us to confront and come to terms with. And the sooner we can do that, the sooner we can be set free from demonic oppression, specifically in the areas where He's had us bound in. I want to remind us, as we continue on about this subject of deliverance, however, that we do have a responsibility as believers, because not every single problem that we deal with or will ever deal with is all demonic. We need to understand that we are commanded to crucify the flesh and to discipline our body. We have a responsibility as a believer. But who I am talking to today is the one who has come to the Lord time and time again, trying to break free from this thing that has kept this person in bondage. I'm talking to the one who hates this sin, that has prayed and even fasted because they've been tormented and they've been trying to get set free from this, but can't seem to gain victory. That's who I'm talking to today. And I think if we're honest with ourselves and transparent, most of us, if not all of us, have dealt with some form of demonic oppression in our life. And I thank the Lord that He opened my eyes to see the demonic oppression I was under. And I thank the Lord that as He was taking me through the school of prayer, He was taking me through the school of deliverance and showing me what was the root cause of some of the areas I've been struggling with for so many years. When it comes to demons, you cannot discipline them. You got to get rid of them. Cast that thing out of there. You know, for my part, I remember a few years ago when the Lord started to deal with me on this area of deliverance. It was something that I had no knowledge about. It was something that I didn't even want to get into. If I can be honest and completely transparent, I didn't care to know about that particular area of Christianity. I've heard about it, but I never understood it. And I remember one day somebody decided to hand me a book. And I got this book, and I remember that I was thinking to myself, Lord, I don't know why I have this book, but I don't want to have anything to do with this book. I was determined that I wasn't going to even entertain that book, that I was just going to leave it sitting on the shelf. But it was a book on deliverance, and it dealt with demons. And I remember looking at this book one morning around 4 a.m. as I was speaking to the Lord and spending time in prayer. I remember this book being off to the side, and the Lord wouldn't let it go. I felt the Lord kept impressing upon me to pick up this book and to read it. And for me, I felt like I didn't want to go there, because I felt like if I understood exactly what I was dealing with, I was going to open up a can of worms. And I didn't want to go there. I was ignorant in that area, but even more so, I was afraid. See, I think a lot of us have that fear that, you know, as long as we don't deal with the enemy in the area of, you know, demons and that part, then I'm going to be left alone. Then they're not going to bother me. You know, I'm going to be under the radar. I'm going to get away. No, you're not getting away. What's happening is he's doing his work undercover. He's secretly coming in to steal, kill, and destroy, and you don't even know it. So the enemy would rather us be ignorant and unknowing about his schemes and his tactics. But for me, I found that every time the Lord begins to teach me, and I find it, you know, this is fascinating, right? I want us to get this. That the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and when he wants to get our attention on something, he doesn't just use the preacher, but he uses himself, because he is our primary teacher. And he will begin to speak to us one-on-one. Though nobody else told us about something, he will begin to get our attention and speak to us about a certain area that he wants us to know about. And so the Lord began to speak to me about this area. I began to pick up the book finally. I began to dissect this book, underline, highlight, cross-reference, look at scriptures that dealt with this particular area. And what I began to find is that I myself was dealing with demonic oppression. And the Lord began to speak to me and teach me and lead me and guide me in this area. And I thank the Lord. But, you know, he never just lets us learn. He always has to take us into the examination room so that we can be tested. He wants to know just how ready we are. He wants to know if we're there yet. And so for me, I have found that every time the Lord is trying to get my attention on something, he will actually take me and put me in the game. He will put me somewhere where I will actually be able to practice what I've learned. And so my test came 2 months later. I remember being in the church at the altar getting ready to pray for someone when all of a sudden there was a severe demonic attack that came upon an individual. And I'd known this individual for a couple of years. I'd prayed with this individual. And so for me, I thought to myself, knowing this person, I said, okay, either there's sarcasm happening, maybe there's some type of under the influence happening here. What exactly is taking place right now with this person? You know, because the mind wants to just, it doesn't want to acknowledge this, but wants to come up with a theory of why this person is acting this way. But the moment you begin to hear other words that are foreign to you, such as, you can't have her, she belongs to us, she is ours, you kind of got to deal with something like that. When the eyes are glossed and not blinking, and you're looking at this person that is dead serious, you're going to have to deal with it. And I thank the Lord that he's giving us wisdom and revelation in this area, because for the most part, we think this stuff only happens in Africa, right? We think we don't have to deal with any of this stuff, because we think over there, they're kind of crazy. You know, we see the witch doctors dressed up, and we get this impression of Hollywood. Oh, they're just, you know, yeah, they bring all that upon themselves. Let me tell you, it's in America too. We just happen to dress it up nicely. And we don't acknowledge it, and we think it's not there, but it is. It is in America. It's hiding. But I thank the Lord that day that he spoke two words to me. He said, take authority. And we took authority and we gained the victory and God was glorified. But I share that with you because sometimes you think that this is not real and that what we are teaching is theory. And sometimes you will even listen to a story like myself and say, oh, that's a good story. And it kind of sounds real. But I'm here to tell you there were five eyewitnesses that heard the demonic name and its language. We did not make this up. Demons are real. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the more equipped we will be to deal with them head on, face to face, with no fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. And so what are some open doorways to demonic oppression? Because there are some things that Christians can do to open the door and grant the enemy legal permission to oppress us. Legal permission to oppress us. There's a few areas that I've listed, but not all of them. And I have found that the number one key area that we open the door to this oppression comes by way of unforgiveness. We've talked about this. We've taught on this. But I want to remind us that unforgiveness is not negotiable. It is not something that God recommended or suggested. It is something that he requires from us. I want us to understand that if we are a believer in the house today, that we are not recommended to forgive. We are commanded to forgive. In so much that forgiveness ought to be a lifestyle for us. It is not an act of kindness where we make a choice whenever we feel like it. It is a pattern of our life. It is a lifestyle that we should walk in. And so for those of us that have struggled for most of our life with unforgiveness, which is probably most of us, if not all of us, we have to come to the point where we ask the Lord, like the disciples said, Lord, teach me to pray. We have to come to the point where we say, Lord, teach me to forgive. Because there is a teaching that God takes us through, more like a process where God teaches us and trains us how to be forgiving people. We have to have such a lifestyle and such a pattern about us that the moment someone comes our way, whether intentionally or unintentionally, to harm or to offend, we've got to be the type of people, if we're a Christian, that we can train ourselves to immediately go to the Lord and bend our knee and to begin to pray for that person, even before we pray for ourselves. And I have found personally that is the number one way that I have been able to maintain a forgiving heart toward anyone, even my spouse, my husband. I know that for most of us, that's probably the hardest person the hardest person we can forgive, because we live with them and there's things that are said, things that are done, and we just do life with them and we find that it's hard to forgive them. But let me tell you, you must forgive them too. Listen, we can't afford to live a life of unforgiveness. And the sooner we train ourselves to forgive, starting in our home, the more freedom we will experience when it comes to others. We've got to train ourselves to forgive. Matthew 18:21, you can read that parable, but Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and makes a comparison how when we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. And as a matter of fact, it comes with enormous consequences and grants permission for the demons to torment us. The second area is generational curses. Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy 5 says that the Lord visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, many times we think that our sin is only going to affect us. We think that it's only going to impact us. And we have no idea that it's not just about us. We think so many times that something that has happened in our family is just a coincidence. I'm here to tell you it is not a coincidence. The medical field will call it a hereditary, or they will call it, you know, in the genes. But I'm here to tell you that it is generational, and it does come through the bloodline, but it is a generational curse. And somehow, some way, someone opened the door to that. Pastor Brian shares often how there was a lot of shooting in his family, starting with his grandfather who was shot. His father was shot. He was shot. His brothers were shot, and one of them was killed. And he finally came to terms with the fact that there was an assignment against his family line. And let me tell you, just like in the Old Testament and just like what happened in the New Testament, many times the enemy will come and try to cut off from the root because he wants to destroy the seed that may be coming through that bloodline, because somebody someday somehow will rise up and take their authority in Christ. There may be a John Wesley. There may be a Charles Spurgeon. There may be somebody that is willing to take a stand and confront the enemy. And the enemy doesn't want to see that happen. And so we have to do our part. We got to be smart, just like Daniel. Even though we didn't commit the same sins that our father sinned in some cases, that our fathers did, we still have to repent for what they did. We still have to repent for what they brought into our life. There were some things in my life I didn't even remember were brought into it. I didn't even remember some of the things that happened in my life. And then the Holy Spirit began to remind me of that time that one of my relatives walked me into this location where they were reading minds and palms. And I didn't realize that some of the shows I used to watch that were even seemingly so innocent had some things that were happening in it that were witchcraft. And so the Lord requires us to stop it in our generation before it passes on to the next. Don't for a second buy the line that it's only going to affect us. If you are dealing with demonic bondage today, know that it is not just going to end with you if you don't put a stop to it. There are many people today, both men and women, who deal with different areas. For example, lust. And there are people that think it's just going to affect me. I'm here to tell you it will affect your offspring. And sooner or later, sometimes by the age of 18, they are already swimming in that same sin you opened and didn't put a stop to. You repent for yourself, you renounce for yourself and for everybody that went before you. And then you break it. Traumas is another area. Traumas, especially emotional traumas. There are many of us today that dealt with rejection and abandonment. We were given up for adoption. We couldn't understand how our mothers or fathers can leave us like an orphan or give us away to somebody. And so we've carried this abandonment on our back all our life. Abuse. Some of us were abused as a child, whether emotionally, verbally, or physically. We were molested or raped, taken advantage of, even beaten severely. The enemy came in to try to take full advantage of the weakest moments of our life. Let me tell you, what happened, happened, and it does you no good to deny it or suppress it. You matter to God, and you are valuable to Him because He created you in His image and likeness. And He's not trying to get you to forget that thing. He wants you to confront it so you can be set free from it. And one of the things I've learned in my own life is that when I've dealt with something, and I've done this in the past, and I continue it as a pattern, I'll write it down. I will look it in its face. Don't hide from this stuff. The sooner you deal with reality, the sooner you'll be able to take action against it. The sooner you'll be able to be set free from it. There's another area that I want to talk about, and it's the occult. Now, many of us think that the things that we participate in or possess are child's play. We think that there's no harm, especially our young adult generation, in reading a Harry Potter book as if that's just a fairy tale. We think there's nothing wrong by going to a fortune teller or getting our palm read. We think it's just some advice or information they're giving to us. We think it's amusing to open up the paper and read our horoscope. We think we are going to say a seance and find a family member there when all we are going to find there is a familiar spirit who already knows your generation and everything about it. We think it's child's play. We think it's innocent. We play with games that have to do with witchcraft. The Ouija board, charms, sticks, whatever it is. I was a kid. I remember doing some of that stuff. And I thank the Lord that He led me to repent, renounce, and even denounce it. Call it what it is. Put a stop to it before it carried over to my offspring. We have no idea so many times the things that are in our home that glorify the occult and witchcraft. We don't realize that there are so many things that are in our home hidden that need to be taken out, thrown away. Books, movies. There are shows that are out there. There's a show called, I think, Supernatural, or at least it was. I don't know if it's still around. But it piques our interest, and we think, oh, that's interesting, and we think there's nothing wrong with learning a little bit about that. The problem is that we're venturing into the supernatural of the demonic, not of the things of God. You want real power, get into the things of God. Because as a matter of fact, God has given authority to us over all the power of the enemy. So we need to understand and be wise to these things that we allow in our home, even through the TV. Even through the TV. You know, the TVs are lulling us to sleep. They are just singing a lullaby to us nowadays. They're just rocking us to sleep. We keep our lazy boy, they call it, and a remote, and we just spend our life clicking away. Being lulled to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby, on. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. I can just get this image in my mind where we're just, oh, I deserve this. I deserve to be comforted. I deserve to just relax here. I don't need to be out in the street witnessing. I don't need to be out in the street laying hands on people so that they will rise up. I don't need to be out there giving food to the homeless. I don't need to proclaim the good news of the gospel. I don't need to offer healing to the brokenhearted. I don't need to offer oppression to those who are oppressed. Healing to those who are oppressed by the demon. No. Rock-a-bye, baby. I worked hard. I'm going to kick off my shoes and go back to sleep. We are asleep today, my brothers and sisters. We are asleep with a capital A. And we're just going to let life go by. We just think that something supernatural, magnificent, great, and mighty works are going to come through our life. by rockabye. I hope that the next time you are alone, that song comes back to your mind. So it'll wake you up. Don't fall for it. Unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin. We need to understand that there was things in our life that we did, even if we are not doing it anymore, that we still need to repent of and renounce. Adultery, perhaps some of us got involved with adultery. Or fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. We lied, we stole. We need to come to terms with that. We need to acknowledge it for what it is. We need to repent of it and renounce it. Otherwise, this, along with everything else, will lead to the spirits of fear, lust, anger, depression, pride, and insecurity, among many others. And this insecurity is a very strong one because it's kind of sneaky. We don't realize that it's there. But its cousins are jealousy, envy, control, and manipulation. And we think it's just affecting us. But no, it affects those around us because it causes us to react in that manner. So we need to understand exactly what it is that we are dealing with. Number four, there are prerequisites to deliverance. And because deliverance is for the Christian, which is also known as children's bread, provision, we need to come before the Lord with a humble and transparent heart. Listen, God already knows it. You're not hiding anything from Him. That's the good news. That's the good news. You're not hiding it. He already knows it's there. Just give it up. Raise your hands. Get on your knees. Say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. Lord, you see it. Expose my heart before you. Help me, Lord. Help me. Set me free from this area. Repentance is a prerequisite, which we talked about, a determination in our mind to turn from sin. Coupled with renouncement, we need to actually take action and turn from that sin. And forgiveness, which I cannot say too many times. We need to forgive all who have ever hurt, harmed, or offended us. And finally, number five, what are hindrances to deliverance? Number one, unforgiveness, again, is the number one thing I have found, and I will keep on saying it. Number two, we've discussed a lack of repentance. It is necessary and will hinder deliverance every time. But number three, I want us to understand that a hindrance to deliverance is our lack of desperation. Most of the time, we're not desperate enough. There seems to be no urgency for us to deal with this area, especially if it's not really bothering us. We think we'll get to it later, we'll handle it later, we will take care of it when we need to. But if we are going to experience true and lasting deliverance, we're going to have a level of desperation where we come to the end of ourselves and we are done with this thing and we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, set me free. I need to be delivered from this. I don't want to go there anymore. We need to come to the end of ourselves and be so desperate that we are willing to seek the Lord day and night on our knees and on our face, asking Him to have mercy on us. If it's one thing we can learn, is to ask the Lord for mercy. Listen, He loves to give mercy. He loves to give grace. But it's only for the humble. Because He resists the proud. If we think we got it covered, if we think we can handle this on our own, and we haven't been able to, then we've got to come to a point where we get desperate enough to come to the Lord so He can finally set us free from this area. And finally, one of the hindrances to deliverance is wrong motives. Now, sometimes we come to the Lord with a wrong motive. We want to be set free from a particular area because it's inconvenient for us. We want to be set free from certain spirits that have been attacking and tormenting us. We want to be set free from a spirit of poverty so we can have a big bank account and not give anything to the kingdom. We want to be set free from the spirit of fear so we're not walking around afraid of everything all the time. Walking around being afraid of going into the dark or getting on a plane or seeing things happen around us. We want to be delivered from that. But I will say today that the purpose of deliverance is not only to be set free from demonic oppression, though it is a major benefit, but the purpose of our deliverance, the primary reason we would want to be set free, is so that we can be fully conformed to the image of Christ with no hindrances. We should be in the state of mind to want to be set free from everything that distracts us and keeps us from conforming to the image of Christ. Listen, that should be our motive for wanting to be set free from demonic oppression. And as I close, I want to call the worship team back up. But I want us to spend some time because for most of us, we've not really thought twice about this provision that God has given to us. We thought we were helpless and powerless against it. But I have good news for us today. There is hope and there is help and there is deliverance for us today in the name of Jesus. He's given us authority over every demon that confronts us. And what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time reflecting upon the Word of God. And we're going to spend some time in worship. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And then I'm going to pray for us. So let's just bow our hearts to the Lord and allow this Word to penetrate our hearts today. What is the Lord saying? What is He showing you?